a whole other episode. And here we are talking about how we align ourselves on these different things. I will be probably off subject if I didn't bring on how this health inequity that we see in COVID and vaccine distributions and how people treat one another and what they adopt and don't adopt are a byproduct of social determinants of health. Faith is a social determinant of health. Income, economic stability is a social determinant of health. All of these things are why we affiliate in this gang-like mentality. There are conditions that we find ourselves in, whether they be our workplace, our employment, our income. It could be positive, it could be negative, the lack thereof. We align ourselves in ways that I believe both Chris has kind of hit on, and I think all of us hit on to a certain degree, that are selfish. We align ourselves due to selfish principles, whether this is going to benefit me or I perceive it as benefiting me or not. That is what it boils down to a certain degree, who your gang affiliation is. It's like, which gang do I think is going to be in my best interest? What are those factors where I live where this is advantageous for me? People don't join a gang in a place where they've got no penetrance and no power and no influence. You join a gang in an area where you find some benefit. That's why people pick political parties. They don't pick the political party for what's best in the nation. They convince themselves that if it's good for me, it must be good for somebody else. So I'm going to join this political party. It's reverse thinking. So the same thing goes with this. And we talked about global health. So just a quick shout out to one of our new sponsors, the Globetrotting Society, aka GlobetrottingSociety.com. Why trip when you can trip? All right, then, that's enough for that. We are going to move to our next segue. Our next segment is time to call a truce. There is a problem here. We all recognize that there are a myriad of reasons why we are here in this situation now. We need to work on why and how we get ourselves out of this situation. Because simply preaching to people isn't enough. Simply saying the science isn't enough. Simply affiliating with certain political parties isn't enough. How are we at this point going to move forward and call a truce for the best interest of the most people?
You know what, to add on to that, is that what I'm amazed at is that the deaths aren't enough.
Right.
Like the deaths aren't enough.
Right.
I could understand if you could say, hey, I don't like your shoes, or hey, I don't like your shirt, or I don't like to wear a mask, but we're talking about deaths. I think that, and one thing I always communicate, it's just not the disease itself. We could talk about disease all day long in a high school class or biology course. It's the burden of disease. That's right. The biggest challenge. It's stretching hospitals to the limit. It's airlines being canceled because people are calling off sick. It's teachers calling off school because they're sick as well. It's the amount of individuals that are calling off of work that inhibit the process of economic growth as well. So if you want to even look at it with economic growth, in my opinion, your concern really isn't economic growth either. You're just saying that because it sounds good. And people are passionate about that. When you talk about money, everyone says, oh my goodness, my taxes. But when you really talk to them and say, come here, talk to me. What tax bracket are you really in? It's not your business.
Right.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Preach. If you want to talk about taxes, let's talk about taxes then. What tax bracket are you in? Oh, right. I don't know.
I didn't even file my taxes. That's right. They're like, yeah, I didn't even file my taxes.
In that tax return bracket.
Yeah, exactly. Let's be honest here. You know, don't break your arm, patting yourself on the back for a category that you really don't even fit in. You just want to be associated with. Like, you're the kid at the high school table that sits at the table with the football team. You're not playing football with the football team. That's not you.
That was, so when they say, Hold it. I'm a battle rap fan, and you know, I don't mind the fillers, but you don't have to get personal. That was me in high school. Oh. I'm just joking. I was a soccer player. I just thought I'd lighten it up a little bit.
I like where you're going with this, because let's call it out. Because you, if you're talking about tax brackets and you're waiting for your tax return to come, you're not the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wait, wait, can I do it for the camera? Because some of this is going to make it into social media. All right, can you guys see me? Can you see me? I'm going to do it for the camera.
Okay.
This does not make me a G. This right here does not make me a G. I got chucks on. I've got the plaid on. I've got the Scully on. I got the
NWA.
This doesn't make me bang worthy. Ain't nobody gonna ride with me like this. This is not make it legitimate. If I had the blue flag hanging out the left pocket in the back, doesn't make me a Crip. Throwing up, emergency medicine remits does not make me a gangster. So, truth of the matter is this. We gotta call it out. We gotta call people out. You fake gangster. Right. This is not gang gang. So the idea that people say, I'm doing this for economic reasons, you ain't got a dime in the bank. People talk about, I believe that I'm doing it for the political party, Trumpism, nativism. Some of my light skinned friends, you know who I'm talking about. I love you white people, but I'm talking about you. Yo, we're doing it because it's good for the country and you didn't vote. That kind of mentality, we have to call each other out on. I have to call myself out on some of this stuff. When I talk about it's the science, I didn't do the research study. I didn't even read it. I took it on faith, just as I did when I, majority of the medicine I practice. I can go and look at it, but a lot of it is on faith. So there's a level of humility we all must exercise when there's this dangerous unknown. When there are things that can be reproduced and proven, we stand by those things. We are willing to step outside of our affiliations, whether they be religious, political, financial, or otherwise, because we have a burden of evidence of reproducibility where we can say, yeah, you know what? You're right about that. Or the stakes are so high. That's what Chris, C. Boogie said, hey, how much is going to be enough? A million dead? Is that not enough? So let's talk about that. So you guys keep going. I didn't mean to jump in. I got heated about it when you start talking about the tax bracket stuff, because it's ridiculous.
And I think what Chris was saying was absolutely right. I think it's not, I guess the economic part of it's kind of concerning, but I think it's just at a personal level. I mean, if you think about it, you have young people who are dying. Now they have kids without parents, right? All these kind of things that are going on. You no longer have your parents or loved ones. I don't know. I think what's getting to the point again was talking before about the idea of the individual. I think we're like, hey, it's not happening to me, so why am I worrying about it, right? So it may be happening to other people. And hopefully not, but it's affected, I know, my family personally. I mean, since my wife's had a couple people that she's known have passed away from COVID, right? And it takes a whole different feeling when you know somebody who's dying from it. I think my other concern is always kind of, and I hope I've always been talking to John about this before. I want to talk about this topic, which is social media, right? I think where you're, I was kind of wondering if this craziness always there, or is social media the problem, or is it just more amplified because of what's going on? And I think when you have things with people like Joe Rogan, you have, Fox News, all these kind of things kind of keep perpetuating, I think disinformation or misinformation. I think just perpetuating where people are just kind of, again, I always said this before multiple times on the podcast, that there's, I guess we make our own truths up, right? And I think we just kind of hone in on that. I was mentioned before, William James, this Christian philosopher, so there's only one capital T truth, and that's God. But otherwise, all T is what is lowercase t, because we make it what we want it to be. But social media is the biggest problem. And I think it's one of the things we need to kind of, I'm somebody who's not for social media. I don't have any social media accounts and stuff. But I think somehow for us to get you social media against this misinformation would be kind of a nice way to kind of fight it too. But it's just pushing a lot of information where people are not listening to scientists or not listening to doctors. They're just finding whatever they can hear on social media, and then they'll perpetuate that. And again, it's like I was kind of joking around, like it's kind of like a virus itself, right? One information spreads very quickly, and that goes into the brains of people, and they will perpetuate that constantly.
You said exactly what I was going to piggyback. That's a good point. Social media is a viral variant of communication. Yeah. It is a viral variant of communication. It is something that we have now allowed to become an incredible contagion. It is adaptable, it's mutable, it's rapidly changing. It spreads, widely. And it is something that came from something else. Once upon a time, we used to call this propaganda. No longer is it simply propaganda. That normally has a media outlet. That normally has a nefarious party who's spreading this. Now it's any and everybody. So it is a contagion at this point. It has an ability to adapt. You have an argument, then you have the counter argument. So there is something to be said about that. And where the mind goes, the body follows. So if you are convinced of something or your perception is shaped, it will eventually become your reality and you will act out in those forces, in those ways. And you see people line themselves when it comes to public health along the kind of the wave and the ebb and flow with social media. So I'm sorry. That was just a very good point, Jawad. Yeah. I just had to highlight.
You know, and I was kind of wondering, again, I think, because you guys can obviously tell, being a Muslim growing up in America, like 9/11 had a huge impact on me growing up because I was in high school at that time. But if you just think about it, like social media wasn't rampant at that time when the truthers were there, right? Who was saying that, hey, like 9/11 was a conspiracy. But I felt like it never blew up, you know, like it never was a big issue. But I just feel like now with social media being such a big thing, like just this misinformation is so rampant. Like it's everywhere. Like we weren't seeing the same stuff when 9/11 happened with people saying that, hey, government that caused the buildings to fall down. But it's just like, it's just crazy how much of an impact it's had. Everybody has social media now, right? And so things, you know, pass like wildfire. And so it's a huge, huge problem. I think it is contributory to a lot of the misinformation issues and misunderstanding that we've been kind of exposed to in this pandemic.
Well, if I may, I think the benefit of just having this conversation is that we expand the dialogue on these topics. There's five Olympian reaches of intelligence, four, if you just want to take me out the picture. Just talking about you guys. I'm questioning.
No, you're included.
You don't get off that easy. You know, gang out. We don't have to kill somebody. Kill you to get you out of this game.
Because here's the thing. Because someone's going to listen to this, and they're waiting for our answer. They're waiting for the other side of this coin. Because honestly, the conversation that you and I have had, or everyone has had, is pretty much the same, except that you're hearing it from physicians. And so people tune in because of this. And there is a common thread or some wishful thinking that from this conversation, and this kind of goes back to what you said, what's the truth? Where do we go from here? And this is something that we all struggle with. Not only just we, just where do I? Where do I, as Christopher Colbert, the person that sees patients that walk in every day, and I'm flipping the coin whether or not you're going to love me or hate me, and all of a sudden you can listen to me now because your mom was sick, but 2 weeks ago, I could go to hell because I didn't know what I was talking about. And they didn't teach me nothing in medical school.
Yeah.
But excuse me, did I just get emotional real quick?
Yeah, you did. You got your feelings.
I know, right? Real quick. Kind of nasty. Keep it together, man. Keep it together.
Yeah. I think you have a recurring guest appearance on the show, but keep going.
Because here's the thing. It sounds very cliche-ish and corny, and this is something I communicate with my residents as well, is that we have to draw the line in the sand to direct the conversation. It's important for healthcare officials to have a common goal and to communicate that and push that forward. There's always going to be people on your basketball team or on your football team that think the coach didn't give the best play, but that's fine. You're still running the play that we call. We don't do that as physicians. We work, you know, what happens in Chicago hospitals is different, clearly different than South Carolina hospitals, it's different than Atlanta hospitals. And people see that. And people hear that. So it's good to be vulnerable in conversation, and the four of us are having a conversation in reference to physicians and our point of reference, but what do we do moving forward? I think that policy is what's going to take place. And policy is what, because policy draws a line in the sand of, hey, listen, you have the right to choose A or B, but this is a B room. You can't go to these Bulls games unless you get a vaccine, unless you wear a mask, because everyone seems to come around when we have a surge in the hospital. This is our fourth surge. This is literally our fourth surge, to the point where now we are deploying military resources to fill in medical gaps at different places. And that's not the role of the military. This is secondary to individuals, primarily individuals. And I get it. There's always going to be, and this is something I say to patients all the time, when they'll say, well, you still admit patients to the hospital. You still see patients that have the vaccine. I do. And again, this vaccine is not a cure. It's ideally designed for two reasons, to decrease your symptoms and to decrease your admissions. Your mother is going to be admitted because she doesn't have the vaccine. The other person you talked about is going home. In the grand scheme of things, there's shared responsibility. And I think that's the theme that we have to embrace. There's shared responsibility as physicians, their shared responsibility as parents, their shared responsibility as family members, their shared responsibility as people that live in the community. So people that live in any community, we have to say, look, for the greater good of everyone, this is what the numbers that count. And you hit it spot on, both with propaganda and social media. Those are means of communication, period. That's just how people communicate. And in fact, that's their focus, in my opinion. That's the whole idea of misinformation, is to keep everybody spinning. If everybody's spinning, everyone's moving, you're not watching me. If I open the door and let your dog out the front door, you're running down chasing your dog, yelling, Lassie, Lassie. I'm in your kitchen. I'm seeing what you have. I'm making sandwiches. I'm watching TV. I'm seeing what channel ESPN on. Something. I'm doing something while you're diverted. And I think that's the whole focus. And as providers, we have to have our patients in mind and be realistic about our patients and when they're coming from, and have that dialogue. It is frustrating, but it's a gift to be a physician. Are you going to be frustrated being a physician? You knew that before the pandemic hit. So for us to have change and implement change, we have to step up, draw the lines in the sand, and impact policy. I'm done.
Drop the mic.
I was going to say, that he blessed us. Yeah, yeah. I normally play my Craig G dropping science on him, but that was something different. I'm sorry. That was built different. I can't do it. Chetty, I saw you. Please, sister, come in.
I'm trying to keep myself on mute because there's like work being done downstairs at this exact time. So.
Okay. No.
Yeah. So I love what you said, Chris. It really sounds like somebody hurt you during your last shift, whoever that patient is. I'm like, I feel that pain because the same thing, like I had somebody who I saw like 2 weeks ago and I was trying to convince them, you know, get vaccinated. You know, it's kind of part of our dialogue now. Are you vaccinated? That's part of like the questioning that you ask a patient. He's like, no, blah, blah, blah. He's out in these streets doing whatever he wants to do. And I was like, you know what? You should get vaccinated. I'm frustrated. I'm tired, but I still do have this conversation. I don't want people to feel like I'm not having these conversations. I am. It's just I'm frustrated. But he came in 2 weeks later and was very, very, very sick. And at that point, it just so happened that I saw him. It just so happened that I was his doctor. And he was like, okay, well, now that I'm sick, give me the vaccine now. And I'm like, no, boo-boo, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that, you know? So I was upset at that, like the same kind of thing, like, oh, well, your mom's going to be admitted because she's not vaccinated. That same kind of emotion, we'll call it emotion, you know, that you have, it's frustrating, especially if you're trying your hardest to educate, particularly Black and Brown people. So I agree with you that it does have to be a policy change. I do believe we need to draw a line in the sand, because when you have dissenters who are saying something opposite to what the rest of us are saying, that just muddies and waters down our message. I think living in the North colors my perception, because I've never lived in the South, so I don't know what it's like down in those parts. So like where I'm from and where I frequent, you know, you have to have a vaccine to do everything. You have to have a mask to do anything and go anywhere. I don't know what it's like in the South. So I feel like the policy has already started. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is what I'm saying. I think you gave some good options for answers, a couple of good options for answers, but I'm not sure what it's going to take, because I felt that in the beginning of this, that the deaths would tell the story. I thought that deaths would be enough for people to be like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. But what I find is that people come to the hospital and they're like, are those numbers real? And I'm like, yes. Are people really, you're really seeing that? I'm like, yeah, what? Where do you think this is coming from? Like, this is not make-believe land. You know, what do I gain? What do I gain? I always say this to patients where I'm trying to encourage them or convince them to get vaccines. I'm like, what do I as a person gain for getting you to get a vaccine? You know what I mean? I don't get extra money from it, because I do think that people think that we're part of this big machine that is trying to push for this because we're going to get incentivized in some way. We don't get extra money for this. This is just for the greater good. You know, we sacrifice basically half our lives trying to get to this point so that we can have this platform, so that we can have this opportunity to engage and educate and interact with people for this very reason and for this very moment, you know, for such a moment as this. And for people,
man, quote that Bible for a time.
Yeah,
such
you know,
so I hear
you. You caught that?
You. Esther, I hear you. Keep going. I caught that. I peeped you. Right. Up, sis. I got you, Mom.
for such a moment as this, you know, this is why we did it, right? We know none of us knew that this was going to be a part of our story, a part of our career, but it is. And it's a huge part of our career. And I feel like it's so frustrating and annoying for people to minimize that. And, you know, we're giving you this information and you're telling us no. And you're telling us no, but it's like based on what? You know, I have half my life worth of studying and interaction and patience and research and all this stuff to back what I'm saying, but I'm not sure what you're backing that off of. So just want to make a little point. I'm going to go on mute right now.
I mean, I was going to say, man, I'm like in so much debt right now. If I knew I could just get free education from Facebook, I would like,
what's
I was just on that, you know,
though?
So.
What's your tax bracket though?
I don't know.
No, yeah. Snitching on the mic. No, yeah. Snitching on the mic.
But do you guys, you know, I was going to think about that.
About to get audited.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, uh-oh, crap. Peace out, guys. But, you know, I was going to laugh. You guys remember when the pandemic first happened, when everybody would come out in their balconies and honk and all that kind of stuff supporting us? And my wife's like, I was like, wow, first time in my life as an emergency doctor where you get crap on by consultants, by patients, by everybody. And people are like, man, supporting. But I told my wife, I was like, this is going to be very short-lived. Like, it's going to be very short-lived. People are going to forget about this. And that's what it is. And I think the toughest part of this whole thing, I agree with the policy situation, but the problem is that, I feel like in America, it's hard with states' rights versus like federal rights, whatever it is. And it makes it a little bit more difficult. And but I don't know. I mean, I think I'm more pessimistic. I think it's gonna be a lot more difficult. I think it's just what bothers me the most is we talk about all these politics, but then we forget about the healthcare workers at the end of the day who are kind of dealing with the brunt of it, right? And so I don't know about you guys, but I know with me, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like more of a, I feel like it's a part of me, like, I feel like I'm getting more numb. And I think it's just like taking more of a toll on me where I feel like I think I have a severe case of anhedonia where like I just lose interest in a lot of things. I just want to just hang out with my kid, my wife, and that's it. Like, I'm no interest in doing anything else anymore, like anything extra. Like, my heart, like, excited to go into medicine, but I feel like my heart's not there. And I think that's like the toughest part is like the toll that is taking us on us as healthcare workers who, first and foremost, we're humans, right? And so dealing with that, I think the hardest part is I have a kid who's almost two, who's not vaccinated. And each time I'm scared if I take this kid outside, he's going to get sick in some kind of way, right? So I think that's the hardest part. I think for I wish there's policy stuff, but I feel pretty pessimistic about it. I just feel like it's just such a big divide that I don't know how we can kind of close in on that gap, you know?
And what's weird about this is that it's such a self-defeating practice to not get a vaccine and wear a mask. Like, I want to ask, who's your coach? Like, that doesn't even make any sense anymore. I could understand. That's like saying, we're going to play a game of basketball, but before we play, I'm going to tie my shoelaces together.
No, we're going to do it barefooted. We're going to be barefoot.
I'm like, wait a minute. You're going to tie your shoelaces together and then you want to play in a game of basketball? Yep. Because I know what I'm talking about. Like that, it's just so self-defeating. Like I literally tell patients, hey, listen, if you don't want the vaccine, I get that. But at least wear a mask.
Yeah.
At least put on a mask. Yeah. Because, you know, and it's funny because, and again, I say this as well. First of all, thank you for that comment. Because we literally, now this is a part of teaching for our residents. It's how to combat compassion fatigue. Because just what you said is very human. Like, there's no way the general population could do what we do on a regular basis. And literally for people to just disregard us openly and then ask for help 5 minutes later. Literally, that's amazing to me. Like, you never complain about the cook until you get your food first. Like, at least serving my meal. Then I can tell you, I can't believe, like, I don't like that cook. Give me a hamburger. Well, no. Not before they deserve the food. We do that afterwards. But I do. I think that's huge. And like, they don't see the kids we admit. They don't see the adults we admit on a daily basis. They don't see how, I know it at my shop, in 3 months, I got an 80% new nursing staff just gone, vanished. Like, I got all new nurses. We have all new nurses in all these hospitals because the nurses are like, I'm done. I can't do this. And, you know, now every other patient has a difficult IV. I'm like, no, it's not a difficult IV. But they did. Right. Right.
I'm glad to see that's universal. I'm glad to see that's universal. I'm too deep in these streets to be stopping and putting in IVs for all these new nurses. I'm sorry. That's non-negotiable at this point. And I love these young ladies and young men who are coming to step up with this idealism of saving the world just as we did. But let's be honest, it's problematic when you're throwing babies on the front line in a war where people are, you know, irrational. They're angry in all kinds of ways. You know, I feel like every shift, and I'm the guy that really doesn't get yelled at a whole lot. I'll be honest with you. I just don't get yelled at that much. I've maybe acquired some grace and mercy along the way. But the last shift, I walked down the hall and I saw three beds in a row and everybody cursed me out. There was a guy that was aphasic. He had a stroke, but he could curse me out. I don't know what kind of stroke that is. I don't know what kind of stroke that is. But he found enough words stuck somewhere in his cortex where he was able to curse me out. So that being said and done, I got to play this one segue and then we're going to come back and follow up on our prescription. This is Pac again. You know, I've realized to... that everybody's hurt in some way in this process. And I've learned to kind of de-escalate my anger because we're all hurting and that doesn't get us to the place we need to be, the healthy place we need to be. So here's a little Pac. I ain't mad at you.
Change. I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all to get up out the hood. I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do you think, boy? Yeah. All the homies that I ain't talked to in a while, I'ma send this one out for y'all. Know what I mean? Cause I ain't mad at you. Heard y'all tearing up shit there. Kicking up dust. Giving a mother up. Yeah, because... cause I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two that ends up the same kind. Quick to holler.
Can I ask a music-related question?
Yes.
Did you guys, where were you guys when I Am Mad At You came out? Were you guys in high school?
What year was that?
It's probably 96.
That's 96.
96. I'm a very, very, very
97.
Young woman.
97.
Very, very, very young woman. So I'm not sure I was even born or conceived.
Good answer.
Good
answer. She's a prodigy.
Wouldn't know.
You know those Nigerians, they come in, they go to med school at age 15.
Didn't know. That's
like fifth grade.
Fourth or fifth grade.
Okay, so if you were fourth or fifth grade, then I was fifth or sixth grade, something like that. I love that you played that, and I love that song, but I am mad at y'all. I am mad at you. I wanted to go back. You closed off the segment. In the spirit of moving forward, let me just put this thing.
He closed it prematurely, didn't he?
I usually have a pretty good rapport with patients, and I got cursed out three times this week. Yeah. And I'm not sure what's going on. So you just said the same thing too. I'm like, why are people mad at me? I didn't do anything, you know? Just the disrespect. The disrespect. Because
you're a different gang, Chitty.
Yeah,
that's
it. It had nothing to do with COVID. It
don't matter.
Yo, when they do that drive-by, you're just a bystander. You get caught in the straight bullet every now and then. So that's real. Collateral damage.
Yeah, I just think about it. I'm like, I wonder. Like, my patients don't know that I can fight. My patients don't know that I can fight. And I think that that's really sad for them. It's good.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah, it's good for them that I'm in the hospital because I can't do that because I'll get fired. But I'm like, I can fight. Like, I can fight.
You got hands. You got hands.
Like, she's hands.
Stop talking to me like that. So, yeah, I am mad at, thank you, Tupac, but I am mad at them. Go on.
Yeah, so let's roll this. And Chitty, I use that same line too. I was talking nice with the hands and the feet. And I say, you know, this ain't gonna be no easy win. To quote Eddie Murphy from The Nutty Professor. So we talked about these things, and you know, we realized that we are all part of the same gang. Let's just say it. We are tied at the hip when it comes to what confronts us and what will be our collective undoing. A lot of times what we don't take into consideration are these things, that a lot of people join gangs for the sense of belonging, out of fear, intimidation, culture, indoctrination, selfishness. That is one that I'm going to use as the segue to the next. we often have to appeal to people's selfish nature to get them to unify. People just don't do things for the sake it's going to benefit somebody else. How does this benefit me? And public health is the same way. Even policy and advocacy, as C. Boogie, Dr. Colbert mentioned, you get politicians to do stuff when it works for their personal needs, their constituents, their political advancements. The same thing goes for hospital systems. When you talk about return on investment, ROI, if it doesn't make money, that's a good idea. So how do we create conversations with our patients as well as our colleagues, our residents, that, hey, while I may not get a kickback from this, this benefits me because I don't have to work as hard and feel as defeated by you doing some of this on the front end. You are the greatest advocate for your own health and well-being. The majority of the work of your health happens outside of the emergency department, not inside. Once you get to me, you're all busted up and broken down and you're like, save me, doc. That's the wrong time. So how do I make that cogent argument? Not in the mass, not in amplified voices, although that's what we're doing now. That's not where the conversation ends. That's where it starts. So we want to backtrack and say we have a shared responsibility. I do have a responsibility to take care of you once you get here, but you have a responsibility before you get to me and after you've seen me, before you come into my doors and after you leave out of my doors to do that. And that is how we get people on individual bases to really come to the table and talk. It is when we realized in Los Angeles, I said I was going to circle back, so I'm going to do that now. And I'm just going to throw a little West Coast vibe to set the mood here. This is how we did it back in the days when the 92 riots came out. And it was, Atlanta was burning. Parts of LA were burning. Parts of Detroit were also seeing unrest. The whole country was just kind of in this horrible mood. And then somebody said, Minister Farrakhan, I don't know how you feel about Farrakhan. This is not to alienate anyone. Somebody said, will you sit down with the brothers and talk this out? And something miraculously happened. Gained territory became a truceful territory, a place where Magic Johnson entered in and appealed to the selfish needs of businessmen, and movie studios came out of the ashes. There was a revitalization in Watts that came out of this. There was a collective movement against police violence. Does this sound familiar? That came about. People were able to appeal to their needs and their selfish desires in this collective manner that brought forth some positivity and something that we could put a finger on at the time and say, hey, this is something that we can all get behind. Crips got behind it. Bloods got behind it. You know, industry got behind it. Local, you know, community leaders, the police, even to a certain degree, got behind it. The same is the calling for now, as Chidi quoted, such a time as this. Can we appeal to our own individual selfish natures in a way that will get us all at the table to see how we all would benefit from public health strategies, policy, advocacy, investment? Healthy people make money. Sick people are a detriment to any economy. That experiment has been proven out. So I've got more to say. I don't want to hog the mic. Guys, what do you think about this? What is a way that we can come to the table and call a truce? How can we resolve this conflict? What is the calling for our patients as well as our colleagues to do so? I'm just going to play a little additional music while you guys kind of bless us with your ideas.
I mean, I think that what I'll say, the first thing to kind of get to the table, I think what you brought up before, John, was I think have a sense of humility. I think there's just a lot of arrogance in whatever sides you want to say in terms of what their positions are. But just having kind of a humility, kind of bring yourself down to kind of have that conversation, right? So having a sense of humility, kind of come and talk to, admitting that you don't know and sitting down and having a conversation and trying to find knowledge or information rightfully, right, rather than through just whatever means or sources, channels that you're finding. I think that's the hardest part in this too. Like you were saying before, like you have to have, if two individuals, is a two-way relationship. You cannot have anything, but it's medicine, friendships, whatever it is, just have one person doing everything, one person not doing anything. You know, I think one of the things I hear too is like, well, if I get sick, whatever, it's the doctors, like they're paid to do this, right? But if you have 20 sick people coming in an hour, there's no way I can take care of you, of 20 people at the same time. And so I know we were talking about our own little grievances, but the thing that recently been bugging me for so long, and I'll say, is just people who don't return the shopping carts to the right spot, right? So it comes to that point, again, of selfishness, where you literally have to take 10 steps to put your cart in there, rather than just leaving it in another side. Because why? Because somebody is being paid to do this, right? You have in the movie theater, people dropping popcorn on the floor saying, well, hey, somebody gets paid to do this, but just bring it, become humble, be part of the group, help each other out, right? And so I think once you become humble, I think we can start having that conversation. But there's just too much ego in these groups, and it's just not going to get to the point where we can get to the table.
Well said. Well said.
You guys remember when we were getting a lot of the mass shootings and people told doctors to stay in their lane? I'm talking about. So I just want people to stay in their lane. Like, people who have zero medical or science background, for some reason, always want to have an opinion about medical topics and be loud about them. It's okay to have your opinion, right? If you're Aaron Rodgers, if you're LeBron James, you can have your opinion, but don't go and spread it to your millions of fans, because that's when it becomes dangerous. The same way that you don't have an opinion when you bring your family member into the ER and you want us to save their life, there's no opinion there. It's all up to the doctor, the medical community. Have that same grace when we're talking about some of these topics that do affect people's day-to-day life, and try your best not to spread this misinformation.
Yeah, I don't know about a truce per se, but I think that we've all kind of come to terms that a big monster in this is social media. So I feel like doing things like this where, you know, we're giving information. So we're trying to combat the misinformation on the same platforms that are kind of spreading misinformation. So I think that that's going to be one of the ways forward. Chris gave three suggestions earlier. But I think in addition to that, just being a voice, I think using the same platforms that a lot of misinformation is being spread. And I mean, I know a lot of people are anti-social media, Jawad, but I think this is a time where you actually can't be anti-social media, because I think that every voice, every doctor, every healthcare professional, scientist, anyone who has anything to say on this topic, this is the time. These are the times that we need to set up our platforms, because that's where people are getting their information. They're not going to get their information from, a lot of people aren't getting information from the news. They're not reading. They're not going to look into research books. They're getting their information from Instagram, TikTok. And so if you do have a platform, or if you have a platform like we have, I think that's going to be a major point, because people will listen. Will they adhere? I'm not sure, but at least we can get an ear.
Man, you're making me want to reactivate my Instagram account. And right. mad Jawad selfies incoming.
So here's the thing. On Thursdays, it's our conference day. So the reason I was a little bit trying to just get it at the last minute is because we just finished our conference and it ended at 11:30. So I'm supposed to Zoom in at 12. But the conversation from our conference was in reference to what we're just discussing, how the morale was low with the physicians, with the residents, and you know, they came into residency for something totally different, and they're getting something consistently different for the past 2 years. And the flip side of that is that I tuned into this at 12 o'clock. This is not only refreshing conversation, it's impactful conversation. And our words echo not only with other physicians, but with patients, with the community. Like all of us, the five of us right here, like you made the comment, you don't know me, I got hands. Like, who doesn't say that? Who won't say that? Right. Think of how many times that all of us have been at work and someone spits at us or near us, and it gives us pause, and you have to give it a second, like, I'm at my job.
I need this money.
Well, but the reason I'm saying that is because those are relatable. That's the benefit of what we do as physicians in any capacity, is that we have relatable stories and relatable experiences to our patients. And that's impactful. Your Instagram post, this conversation, this will have an impact on someone that will give them pause. Realistically, do I expect the whole world to get vaccinations? Absolutely not. Do I hope that my words make a difference? Yes. Do I tell myself, if someone's willing to take medical advice from Joe Rogan, they damn sure better be able to take some medical advice from me. I need to be able to communicate. I need to be able to have that conversation. And I get it. And again, I do say that as well. I realize that some people are very committed to their opinions, but because one thing that I can say for all of us as well is we've seen people change from night and day when it's their family. Nobody believes in vaccines and all that kind of good stuff until their mom is sick. Once your mother's sick, oh, Dr. Colbert, please tell me, what do you think? How long will it have to be? All of a sudden, the bass goes out your voice. You're whispering now, kind of leaning right. in. So right. what do you think is going to happen? Okay, you please do the best for my do the best for my father. I realize that he doesn't want the vaccine, but you know he's a really good guy. Everyone's humble when it's their side, and everyone's willing to listen. What I do believe is that most people, or a lot of people, are at a point of willing to listen if the delivery is tailored a little bit to them, and that's what we do as physicians. How many times do you talk to people about smoking? They're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And they put on their nasal cannula and they just roll themselves out the hospital. See, again, and we're all joking because this is a relatable conversation. The stuff that I'm telling you, you know it if you didn't have it last week. The we get our thank yous. We get our kids and our patients that are like, we're every person's favorite doctor for 5 minutes. So what are you going to do in those 5 minutes?
Powerful.
Make those five. And if you think about it like that, it's less frustrating. I realize my role and I realize that I can have an impact. Do I want a better impact? Of course I do. But also, I want less snow. I got 2 feet of snow I got to shovel after this conversation. I've got a 16-year-old that does what he wants to on his cell phone. There's a whole lot of wants I got.
Right.
But I'm being realistic about my expectations. This dude wants a pair of Yeezys and a pair of Dunks.
Come on, Dad. Yeah, come on. Get that man his Yeezys. Yeah.
I don't. He already got him. He already got him. Don't get me going. Now I'm about to get personal again. I can't come back on this show. I get too emotional.
We haven't even gotten into the fashion and the shoe gang. That's a whole other gang to itself. That is.
I like talking to y'all. You got to get me going on purpose.
Got your pressure up.
Where's my medicine? Dang, come on. But anyway, that being said, I'm glad I received the invitation to have this conversation with the four of you because it's going to make me a better person. It's going to enhance my practice. It will give me pause when I think about the next time I have a patient because I know that we have shared experiences and that we all honestly want the same thing, which is good patient outcome. And this is why we're having this conversation. So we could collectively come together with an idea that we can move forward so we're not as frustrated, so that there's a better patient outcome, because it takes nothing for us to get together and to say, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. Hey, that's great. See you next week. It takes more to say, this is a problem. How do we address that? What's the best way we can address this? And how do we do this moving forward? Now I'm done.
Kay Ford.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. I love that. That's profound.
Thank you.
That's profound. That's good.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, I'm sorry, Chitty. No, he just did it. You know, he just did it. Sometimes, you know, it's that one bar and you're like, yeah. Oh, shoot, that made, you know, this is that one bar. He comes in with it, you know, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is, you get it. You get it. And then those organs come in, you get it. So yeah, you know, you can do the Eminem and do the, you know, rapidy rap and flip a lot of words that maybe you stretch to sound like they rhyme, but sometimes they come in, you know, with that one bar, you know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got a lot of songs running through my head now. You know, I just ran through Dos Effects. You know, I went through OC. You like the minerals and vitamins, the irons and the niacins. I'm sorry, I just got all these lines going through my head, but we'll say that for another episode. I do want to say this as we talk about this. This is a one last feature. Truth is like justice. It doesn't have a color. It doesn't wear a uniform. It doesn't belong to a league or a team. It is not a he or a she. It stands alone and with others and is not defined by the American way. And just like that, It's Superman. You caught it at the end. Truth and justice stand alone. It is up to us to stand alongside truth and justice. With that being said and done, I'm going to get you guys out of here with a little Coolio Gangsta's Paradise because it's just also necessary.
Oh, nice.
The gang mentality, we're all a part of it. We're going to approach it with the prescription of humility, love, peace, policy, advocacy. And hopefully we'll find ourselves at a temporary peace at least. It's never lasting. It's never final. But just a little peace is worthwhile. Thanks, guys.